Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Indeed it does. This is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight I am delighted, as I always am, to welcome to the show a dear, dear, dear friend, Rob Schneider.
Thank you, Doctor.
Rob, how are you, buddy?
I miss you, man. It's nice to see you.
I know. So
even haben eine große Schwanzstucke und rot und dicker.
Which means?
Which means I have a big penis that's red and thick.
Yeah. Again, that, how would you say that?
Ich habe eine große Schwanzstucke und rot und dicke.
Thank you. Thank
German.
You.
German. You take German for 4 years.
It's good to have you back.
Start the year off with a bang.
Yeah, so to speak, with the big red one.
So you had a nice time with skiing with the kids?
I was in Montana last week, and lots of snow, and it's colder than
It's cold out there. But is it worth it to go all that way there from Montana for the snow?
Yeah. You know, do you ski?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and so we seem to go, you know, we sort of zero in at the last minute where the snow and then go.
Right.
We
yeah.
have friends that have a house up there and we stay with them.
Oh, so that's really, what makes it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And
it was
is it crowded? Is it not crowded? Montana?
It is. Montana is a huge mountain. And
wow.
There's Big Sky and then Moonlight, which is right next door.
Right.
And it's some of the biggest skiing in the country.
Really?
Yeah. It's just distance you ski is just massive.
Oh, that's good. So how long are you up there on a ride when you go down?
You could be skiing at a decent clip for like 8-10 minutes.
Wow, that's
you're
nuts.
Really, and they're building and building. The thing is exploding with growth. You can just see it, and so it's. And how about you? Where'd you go?
I was in Puerto Rico with my 16-year-old, and she had a great time.
How did you choose Puerto Rico?
Well, you know, I had a friend of mine was going to go there, and I'd never been to Puerto Rico, and it was fun because my 16-year-old ended up gambling with me, throwing craps.
Nice.
You know, yeah, because you don't
How
get
does she bet? Come, don't come? What's her sort of strategy? Field?
She had no idea, but it was basic. I rolled for 20 minutes, and I had
Really?
Like, yeah, so we
Because no one else was at the table, or because
no,
you did,
I got
you actually
roll for,
rolled?
Yeah. It was a solid 20, maybe
Was she
25.
Betting against you or with you?
She was betting with me, That's betting good. The numbers, and
yeah,
doing
yeah.
okay. And then, you know, what happens when I ever get in a
big
roll?
Eight.
Yeah, I'll take the 6 and 8 to 10. She goes, I'll take the hard ways, you know, and
yeah,
I'll
you're
take
like,
it.
Honey.
But she won playing, you know, doing slots, and then she won that. So I'm just worried that she's going to get a habit now
yes,
because
yes.
she's winning.
Yes, thanks, Dad.
But the good thing is she can't gamble really again until she's 21.
But she can go back to Puerto Rico.
Unless she goes back to Puerto Rico. Yeah, it was actually lovely. I like Puerto Rico. I've never really been there before.
And then you went to Cleveland?
Now, Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is impressive.
It's interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's basically, you think, could it be, it might end up being like a Planet Hollywood, which is this all, any of this crap real or fake, but it was impressive.
No, it's a big pyramid, right, when you go in?
Yeah, I mean, it's structurally, it's kind of, they make it look like the new part of the Louvre.
Right, that's right.
You know, which is the same guy, but it was actually really impressive, and they gave us a private tour, of course, because I'm a celebrity. But anyway, I got to try on, you know, John Lennon's Beatles outfits. That was nice.
What?
They,
what?
They let you do that.
What?
They let you try on the outfits.
You because
no,
you're a celebrity?
Just kidding.
Or just,
no, no,
oh,
just kidding. It would have been fun if they did that, huh?
Well, it'd be a scene out of one of your movies, I think. Like, arrest that man.
Ruin something. But it was cool. But it is ridiculous how expensive some of that stuff is worth. I mean, like, you know, one of the Beatles. You know when the Beatles did the Sgt. Pepper's? You know, those outfits?
Mm-hmm.
And they lined up the photo. Now they do it all in Photoshop, of course. Back then, they actually make each one of those personages and, you know.
Shoot them.
And they actually, those costumes weren't made for them. They rented them from a rental house. Each of those Sgt. Pepper's outfits
Weird.
Was from a rental house.
Did
so
they,
technically, you could have gone and got that at one time. Now,
for Halloween or something.
Bought them. Yeah, you could have said, you know, I could have worn that thing. But up until, like, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, you could have still rented those things. That's ridiculous,
weird.
Isn't it?
It's weird. Did they wear them on tour and things? But
they just had them that one time. They just rented it
for that
it was,
one picture,
you know, and that was it. That's cool. But
is that in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now?
One of them is, and a couple of them are privately owned. Like, you know, some of the there is still some great rock and roll memorabilia out there you can buy and purchase, and they kind of keep an eye on it. So like John Lennon's jacket is on loan from Yoko. You know, she's never going to give that away. She's a bit on the stingy side, I get. But she's, you know, loaned to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame his original jacket from when they were in Hamburg, the Beatles. So that was cool.
The guy that just wrote the definitive book on the Beatles, like a 900-page
yeah,
biography.
Right, yeah.
A guy named Spitzer, I think his name was.
I hear that's really good. I hear just when you think you've learned everything.
No, he pretty much put it all together.
And that's a good one. I got to get that.
Yeah.
But I wanted somebody to break it down for me, though.
And you're working on something else
Break
now.
That 900 pages down to 50. You know what I'm saying? I'm
well, there'll be cliff notes.
Give me the cliff notes on the 900 pages. I don't have that much time. I got the benchwarmers coming out, and I'm going to direct a film finally.
What?
It's called Big Stan, written by the great Josh Leib, and it's about a guy going to prison.
Yeah, you mentioned
this. A little schmucky guy who's afraid what's going to happen to him when he gets in there.
And so
he has to make himself rapeable, frankly.
Make himself rapeable?
Unrapeable. Yeah. I mean, no one wants to get in. So he basically hires the master. David Carradine's going to play him. And it's pretty cool. I mean, we got...
Are you in it as well as directing it?
Yeah, so that's going to be the tough part.
You're one of the big guys that rapes people?
Well, I'm the little guy who's afraid of getting raped, so it's a funny... It's,
do
it's
you work on your anal tone,
dirty.
Or what do you... What do you?
I got a tattoo on my sphincter that's pretty disgusting looking to make people think twice about it.
What is it like?
I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're ever going to show anything, but what you come up with... If you guys out there can listen to a good one. Hey, and I did see Brokeback Mountain against my will.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, whether, gay, straight, whatever. It is the feel-good cowboy gay movie of the... whatever.
Millennium,
yeah. It's nuts, I'm telling you. I wasn't expecting to think it was great or not. It's really terrific.
You doing stuff with your buddy Adam Sandler?
Yeah. I was out there at Palm Springs for New Year's.
Is that where he lives now?
I was out there with him. Yeah, I played a little golf. And he's got a new movie he's doing with Mike Binder, and it's just a lot of fun stuff.
Are you in
happening.
That?
I don't know. I don't think so yet. But it's a drama. It's pretty cool.
The first Adam Sandler film in like 18 years that didn't include Rob Schneider.
I'll show up.
You can do it.
You can do it.
I'll just show up. You paged me a while ago, and I called. I was in Montana.
I did get the page yesterday.
And I called your answering machine. Answers with "You can do it."
Yeah, I put it in for the new year.
You can do it. That's how I knew it was you. So here we go. All right, let's take some calls, shall
let's
we? Rob Schneider with us tonight. Let's go. This is Eric 19. Eric.
Hey.
Hey, it's Loveline. What's up?
What's up, Eric?
Not much. I just kind of had a question. Like, how would you kind of get a woman to, like, open up to try new things in bed, like bondage, or maybe, like, places, like clubs or something that you could go to, like, meet these kind of girls that are into that stuff?
A woman that you want to get open to this, or you just want to meet someone who
you just
might
want to put a bag over some girl's head and drag her there?
Well,
Take your time.
You're 19. You're not 38 back from Iraq. What's going on?
Well, why do you need to be so crazy? When I was you're 19? You don't sound 19.
No, I know.
That's a hard 19.
Yeah.
That's a guy 16 through 19. Some damage there. Hey, 19, and when I was 19, I would just be happy for a woman to rub herself against me. That would have been like my year.
Oh, that's where you got hooked on frauderism right then?
Well, that was stuff like when I was 14 and something.
All right, whatever. Okay, so you're more advanced than I was. So what, you want a girl, you want to introduce her to tying her up? Why?
Just
because you're bored with the old in and out? Is that what's happening there?
Yeah, basically.
All right. Maybe she's bored with you is what it's
saying. Would you have a girlfriend that you're trying to sort of bring to this activity, or you want to meet someone who's into it?
Kind of more meet someone that's into it. I don't have a girlfriend.
They have this thing called the internet now.
Yeah.
You can find out like a bondage hotline and meet weirdos like yourself on there.
Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Yeah, I've had girlfriends, but...
What's the longest relationship you've had?
About 2.5 years.
And did you try to get that one into this stuff?
Yeah, I kind of tried.
And?
She talked about it, and then, kind of... We always would talk about it, she'd be like, oh yeah, I'd like to try that next time, and then...
All right, well look, if it's important to you, next time you're dating around and you want to ask somebody, you're starting to question whether they're suitable potential girlfriend,
usually,
you ask about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's usually if it's something you just want to spice things up a little bit, but it doesn't sound like you're ever in a relationship where you were in it long enough where you needed to spice it up.
And I got a certain amount of discomfort encouraging Eric with what I imagine to be his steely glare to sort of bring on the violence.
Yeah, you come off as creepy. Yeah. You do. You come off, you're creeping women out, and they don't want to be tied up with you, none unless even have sex with you. Just stick with the basic in and out, and then find a girl who's is creepier than you. It's going to be hard to do. But then, then you'll...
Maybe you should. There are people you can go to pay this kind. San Francisco, that's where you're from. They're full of places.
Oh,
like
man.
That.
You can go. That's like the bondage capital of the West Coast, my friend. You just move up there. Try having sex with a girl who doesn't do bondage.
People go into those clubs, they don't even have sex. They just have the whole bondage experience.
Yeah, there are places, surprisingly. My brother was telling me about...
About the club he goes to?
My brother John was saying...
Last time you were here, he came with his three daughters.
Three daughters, yeah. Not from a sex club either, but
directly. Been there that afternoon, but not that night.
But there's a place, surprisingly, that would have, like, you know, like Kansas City has like a bondage place that would, like, where couples are swing places where they go and you could watch other. You can't go. Women can go by themselves, but for obvious, for good reasons, guys can't go by themselves. Yes. And then you can go with a couple or whatever. You can go in rooms. You can participate.
Basically, you can come if you bring a woman.
Yes. Well, that goes without saying. But anyway, good night, folks. Okay. But let's hear some other weirdos.
Let's keep going. Susan is 25.
Hi.
Hi there.
I have a few questions about oral herpes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yay.
Woo!
I have oral herpes, but my boyfriend does not.
How do you know that's what you have?
I had what seemed to me like a herpes outbreak, and I went to the doctor. And I actually asked her to take a blood test.
The blood tests are pretty much worthless, but go ahead.
Oh, they are?
Nah, pretty much. I mean, everybody has antibodies against herpes. So the fact is they can be kind of useful if you have a very, very high suspicion. I mean, if your outbreak looked classically like herpes, really the only way to know for sure if you have herpes
is if you make it with your boyfriend, you have one and he gets one.
Well, that's one way. No, that's one way. You're right.
So you're not suggesting
I'm not recommending that. The other way is to get a culture done. But everybody has oral herpes. That's how common it is. So.
But there are things what is your question about it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering, because I'm not going to kiss my boyfriend, obviously, when I have an outbreak, but I'm wondering how long I have to wait kind of after it sort of dies down.
Nobody can tell you that. You could be having viruses even
without
having,
without knowing.
Yeah, even without any outbreak.
There are things, though, you could do to boost your immune system, like anything. Like there's, different supplements you can look up and find out, like lysine you can take. There's
that my boyfriend could take, so he didn't get it.
No,
he gets it. You know, it's just like, you know, grandmothers get cold sores. I mean, it's not something.
Right. I mean, it's
don't think you're the absolute biggest social pariah out there.
Right. I mean, most people have this.
Yeah, you didn't think about our last caller. I mean, you're talking about 45 million Americans.
Right.
You know,
so admit it.
Boost your immune system. Take supplements. Vitamin C helps boost your immune system. MSM, which mm-hmm. is a sulfur. M as in Mary. SM helps your immune system. And,
okay.
If your immune system's strong, you'll have less and less recurrence.
If you really are obsessing about this or your boyfriend's getting word on you, there actually are medication you can take that will actually suppress the viral production.
Okay.
But that comes at a price to your immune system and your...
Yeah, I wouldn't go that
it's
far
strong
because
drugs.
this is something that pretty much everyone deals with.
It's the same drugs that people get for anti-AIDS stuff.
No, it's not the same as anti-AIDS.
Some of it is.
But it's more like the anti-avian flu kind of virus. Christina, 23.
Yes, hi.
What's up?
Hi.
Okay, so every time that my girlfriend and I have sex, the next day my stomach hurts really bad and I can't go to the bathroom.
Wow. Jeez.
Do you guys use penetrating devices?
Is there any strap-on devices?
No, just hands.
Oh,
easy.
Hands or...
Is it as violent as what you just sounded like there? It's just hands. I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah,
just
hands
or...
Hands? That's worse than an implement. Huh?
You mean fingers or hands?
No, fingers, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Whew,
you scared us a little bit.
I was going to say, you should videotape that stuff and make some money. I'm sorry. So you're sick to your stomach after? Do you feel taken advantage of or something?
No, it's not directly.
Are you having Chinese food right before the... Are you eating? Are you having sex underneath the table at the Chinese restaurant? What's?
No, I wish. No, it's just the next day. Like, I'm fine at night, and I fall asleep, and then the next morning, it feels like cramps.
So and then, like menstrual cramps?
So if you had how many were you having, 12, 13 orgasms we're talking about? Maybe it's just, is it something that, does it feel like, is it really painful or what?
It's not painful, it's just really uncomfortable. Like, it feels like, I guess you wouldn't know what menstrual cramps feel like. But.
Well, you're right.
How dare you? How dare you assume Rob does not have a menstrual
period? You know what?
Period.
It's these calls that really get me, you know?
Why?
No, I'm just kidding. Well, I don't know. I've never actually given a woman an orgasm, so I'm not an expert in this area, but maybe you just have really strong orgasms. Drew, help me.
Christina, when was your last pap smear? When was your last pap smear?
A couple months ago.
And they did a pelvic exam and everything was okay?
Yes, I believe so.
You have no history of endometriosis?
No.
I was going to ask that.
Pelvic infections?
What is
I was going to ask that.
I've been fine.
Ovarian cyst, polycystic ovarian disease, anything else?
I had an ovarian cyst.
All right, so maybe there's another cyst, and maybe this is sort of stirring all that up.
Wow. You're good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You should do this 5 nights a week, man.
Also,
you're good.
Also, urine infections, urethral irritation. I mean, there are a lot of different things that can go on. I suggest, and did you say you're constipated also?
What is it?
You said you have trouble going to the bathroom? Did you say that?
I said that before we started. I can't do number two.
You're constipated. Yeah, and so the constipation is probably not the primary issue. It's probably some inflammation in the pelvis. So when your uterus gets inflamed, your fallopian tubes are inflamed, it can put pressure back against the rectum and make it difficult to move the stool through. So here's the deal. You need to have another pap smear. You need to go back and say, here's what's going on, and be sure that they look into this first. It could be pelvic inflammatory disease. It could be a lot of different things that can cause this. So
I think it's just really violent, gay, lesbian scissor sex. Scissor sex.
So her Christina's girlfriend, scissor hands? Is that basically?
No, they do scissor sex like that. You know, scissor sex.
I see with their legs.
Come on, you've seen all-girl pornos. Come on. I think it's some violent, just violent scissor sex.
I feel so sort of naive, but I never heard it called scissor sex.
I feel dirtier after the first three calls. I do.
Megan, 25.
Hi.
Hey, Meg.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Megan, what's going on there? You're on with Rob Schneider.
What's up, baby?
And Rob Schneider. What's up?
Tell us you're not constipated and having scissor sex.
No, I'm not.
Thank God.
Hey, Rob, how did the DVD sales go on Deuce Bigelow, European
Gigolo?
We kicked
butt. Good. I might get some money out of that movie after all.
Excellent. All right, Megan, what's up?
Okay, my question is about painful intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
I never had
that.
Well,
I've never had intercourse. What are you saying?
Never had that
intercourse.
I heard about it. I read about it. Sounded awesome.
What do you mean painful intercourse? At what point is it hurting you?
Like
the whole time?
Yeah, all the time. It's always hurt, but it's kind of getting worse.
How old are you?
25.
25?
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
24.
24? Oh. Were you sexually abused at any point?
No.
Raped, anything of that sort?
No, nothing.
Scissor sex, violent scissor sex, lesbian scissor sex.
Is there any anatomic difference between you and your boyfriend? I mean, is he bigger than you are or anything like that?
He's pretty
big. Does he play
big
for the Lakers or Clippers?
He's pretty big?
He's pretty big?
What are we talking here?
What are we talking, a zucchini or what do you...
No, it's not
summer
long
squash? What are we... What?
It's not long, it's just thick.
Ah,
and so you have pain at the point of penetration? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But okay. I looked it up online and found something called, I don't know how you say it, vaginismus or vaginismus.
Yeah, vaginismus is a spasm of the floor of the pelvic musculature.
It's also, if you drive down Riverside, vaginismus is actually 10 miles just inland.
Near Zizzix.
But
that doesn't necessarily... People that have vaginismus usually have difficulty with penetration and pain immediately, you know, with the penetration. It's not something that gets worse necessarily as they go along. In fact, oftentimes it gets better. So what do we describe? I mean, look, Megan, how come you haven't seen a doctor about this? Haven't you had a pelvic exam? Have you had a pelvic exam?
I have. And
how long ago did you have that?
My gynecologist recommended vaginal dilators.
Well, that is a way of treating vaginismus.
Go out with an Asian guy. I mix it. All right. Hey, listen. You know, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's your name again?
Megan.
Megan. What's the amount of foreplay? Like 8 seconds, 9 seconds before he jams in his large, thick member into your orifice? Schwanzstucke before he puts in his grande Schwanzstucke und that's very rot und dicke inside of you. How long is it taking? Tell him to take his time. He's rushing it.
Is he?
Is he rushing? How long? Seriously,
no,
how long is the foreplay?
I don't let him rush it. I actually am turned on. I just think that after he tries to put it in, something closes and then it's just too painful.
Okay, how about, have you thought about, you know, having anal sex, or you have something that's more painful so you can go back to that and have something to relate to?
Oh, my.
Okay, I'm just joking. Seriously, Megan. Okay. I'm just saying what I would do.
How often do you have sex with your boyfriend?
not that often.
Ah, there we go. You know, you got to be doing it 8 hours a day.
Hurts.
What's that? It hurts. I don't blame you.
And are you in control of things? I mean, are you able to sort of set the tempo?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Most women are in control of things. Come on.
I agree with you. I'm just not sure if it's worth trying those dilators.
Hey, you know what? I know. I don't think it is.
Well, Megan, you need an accurate diagnosis. You know, you're jumping into treatment, and I'm not clear of the diagnosis.
I mean, is this guy like, I mean, it can't be like, I mean, women are adjustable in that area, right?
Right. I mean,
not emotionally. Women aren't emotionally adjustable.
No, completely fixed and rigid.
Right,
but that's an area designed to handle the head of a child coming down. But there is something called vaginismus, but there can be very, very powerful muscular contraction, and it is painful.
There is something weird that you were a virgin until you were 24. And I don't say that in a... you know, it's not a critique of you. It's just, so maybe...
It makes you wonder.
Yeah, it means there's something else maybe happening there.
Me?
I mean, is there a reason why you waited so long to...
I wanted to wait till marriage.
And are you unhappy that you didn't?
No, I'm not. No. It's just that that's why I waited so long.
Are you comfortable with him?
Yeah.
And how long does he...
I mean, this is totally taking me by surprise.
Okay, and how long does he sort of work on you before he tries penetration?
Well, I guess I'd say like 15 minutes.
So you guys have 15 minutes of foreplay. Does he do oral sex on you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. This is what I was talking about. You got to have the violent sexual scissors, lesbian scissor sex, before you try the penetration. No, you got to have him go down on you for a week. Just try it for me.
Maybe slow things down a bit. That's reasonable advice.
I mean, listen, till he can no longer speak sentences clearly, when he looks up to you, and if he's still saying, okay, how is that, Megan? Then it's like, no, get back down there. And when he looks up and goes, now you can try. How about now you try? I can't breathe anymore. My neck is sore. And then you go, okay, now, big fella.
That part is great. Like, it's a lot of fun. And then sex was supposed to be fun.
It should be. You know, maybe this is just a thing you can... I still think, you know, you got to listen to the good doc. I mean...
And sometimes it is. There are anatomic sort of mismatches. And too big is one of those things that happens once in a while. It can be kind of a deal breaker. And
deal ripper, sounds like.
Deal. And if indeed this is an anatomic disproportion or a vaginismus, those vaginal dilators are a reasonably good idea. But
it sounds extreme.
Both of us are worried that this isn't an
There's
accurate
something else
diagnosis.
Going on there.
Yeah, we worry that.
I mean, that's a high, I put that on the high end of problems. It's like, you know, my boyfriend's too big.
Right.
Oh, God. You're not going to get any sympathy from any of your girlfriends.
Or Rob. Or Rob.
Oh, my God. He takes so long.
But we do, Rob. We do hear too big more than too little here on
the
show.
That's true. Thank
you. And thank God.
God
Christ.
Yeah. What am I going to do with all that? We don't get that.
That's normally what you get when you sort of show yourself.
What am I going to do with all that?
Eine von Stuker.
Both inches. Good God.
All right, it's Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. That voice is that of Rob Schneider. He is a dear friend of the show. He's just had a great success in DVD sales on European Gigolo, Deuce Bigelow. And he'll be with us all night tonight. You come back in on Thursday?
Oh, yeah. I'm here, man. But this is going to be, we're starting off strong.
All right, give Rob a call.
We're starting strong. Come on up.
1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline. Poor Anderson sounds so exasperated tonight. It's like,
tired.
3, 2, 1.
It's tough. You know, I
you're all right, Anderson?
Anderson?
No, I suck.
What's the matter?
No, I'm all right.
Are you okay?
You know what it could be.
I'm studying tonight.
Studying what?
Astrological signs.
How's it working out?
Are you high?
Not so good. I'm always high, Drew. Come on.
Oh, dude.
Something. I don't believe in that because Scorpios are skeptic.
I don't like it.
Good night.
You're studying?
Old joke, huh?
Are you studying?
No, no.
What are you studying?
I'm studying the show and how it's going.
Good. How's it going?
It's going great.
Hey, false enthusiasm. You know what?
It's going fantastic.
This week is the first, everyone starts working out this week.
I've decided New Year's resolutions are just BS.
Oh, yeah.
I've decided that.
I'm already giving up on everything.
Right. People decide. It's great to take.
Yes!
Nice.
I said I was going to give up lesbian scissor sex, and here I am.
Here you are talking about it.
Still talking about it.
And I think it's great to take an inventory on things and sort of take appreciation and to be thankful, but then to create change.
Yeah, it's create change because of a date.
No, that's wrong.
This is
that doesn't make sense. So.
See, you got to develop a really.
So if you're gonna, I need some of this. Speaking of change, if you're going to take on or quit the scissor sex, you need to have be motivated.
You need more than just
than a date.
Yeah,
yeah. Crystal, 19.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Crystal.
You're on with Rob Schneider.
Hi.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm good actually. Thank you.
Okay.
So what's going on? What's this is a lesbian scissor sex night?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
But okay, no, and
your loss.
My question was, like my boyfriend, he only lasts like the longest he's ever went was like maybe a minute in bed.
And ooh. The problem is, that's very normal.
I don't get any satisfaction out of it. I mean, we've been together almost 2 years, and you know, we do it maybe twice a week, and that's all I get is maybe a minute sex every time we do it.
I think you're just being greedy.
How about?
Like, well, what am I supposed to get out of it? I mean, but the question is, I mean, you know, weed do that to him because he smokes a lot of weed?
Uh-oh.
You know,
well, weed does a lot of things, but let me tell you what. Boy, is your phone, are you calling from work or something?
Oh, yes, I'm at work. It's my store.
All right, okay, God love you.
What kind of store is it?
It's Domino's.
Domino's?
Yep.
Domino's?
Which one?
I'm actually down in Springboro Pike.
Right.
Cool. Oh, you're down by Prospect Street.
Yeah.
Spring Road Pike. Oh.
You are. Okay. Yep. Everyone, there could be a rush. Run into, if you're anywhere near there, stop there.
I want you to look at what state she's coming from.
Oh my goodness. You're good. Okay. So tell you what. Let's put this on hold for a second.
Okay.
You got the power button. Now, okay. This guy is
a quickie.
Is a quickie.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously.
And she's kind of a ball buster.
Yeah. So, I mean, he wants to get in there, it sounds like. But
with his penis, hopefully intact.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, I'm going to do this, but I know there's some risk involved, so I'm going to try to keep it to this emotional commitment to a minimum. How about we ask this girl, Crystal?
Yeah.
Crystal, what would be wrong with, like, you guys having prolonged oral sex, or at least him performing this, you know?
How would that go? How about that?
How would that go? Has he done that?
No, he's never actually done any of it. I mean, he was on different morals than doing that. I mean,
What is that? Pleasing a woman isn't immoral.
So as far as I know,
it's an impossibility.
Plato didn't bring this one up. Socrates didn't mention this. Where did morality enter into this equation?
Like what I'm saying is, like, he wasn't raised that way. I mean,
he wasn't raised on oral sex.
He wasn't raised to please his
partner.
He's
not like me and Drew. We were raised on oral sex.
Like, he's 25 years old, and I'm the second person that he's had sex with. I don't know.
Okay, can I ask you something? Crystal, answer the phone. Okay, Crystal, she's getting calls from people going, is that you on Loveline?
Is that you with the Domino's?
Hey, Crystal, well, why don't you talk to him about this? And have you talked to him? And they said, this isn't okay. I want you to please me. What does he say?
Well, I've talked to him, and he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, he doesn't really listen to me when I talk to him. So.
That's not okay, Crystal.
You shouldn't put up with that. You know, look, have you guys, like, I feel like Dr. Ruth now.
It's
like, you guys should try to do separate masturbatory things. You should masturbate yourself, and he should touch himself, and then he could see how you're pleasing yourself. Maybe that will turn him.
He doesn't want to do it together. He doesn't want me to watch.
He wants to go in the basement and do it? The pornos?
Yeah.
Well, what did you see in this loser anyway? You are a high, you know, traveling woman. You manage Domino's. You've got phones ringing off the hook.
So do you.
All right. Okay. Hey, listen. No, seriously. What did you see in this guy in the first place?
I don't know.
Smokes
He's
a lot
really
of pot.
Nice. I mean, he treats
He's
me
nice.
The way I want to be treated, you know.
Which is never letting you have an orgasm. What way is he treating you good?
I mean, he treats me really good, you know.
Like what?
He pays attention to me. He would do
not sexually,
for me, but you know, the sex part isn't good.
Well, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Trust me, that's huge. I mean, he's got to, you know, if he cares about you, he's going to want to respond to you in ways that you're going to like. I mean, that's just a no-brainer.
Right.
And for you not to put up with it says something about you.
It's only reasonable that when somebody alleges that they care about you, and if indeed they do care about your happiness and your satisfaction, that they do some things, they lay themselves out a little bit, maybe do some things that are a little uncomfortable for them on your behalf.
But
and by the way, you're not asking for anything outlandish. You're asking for reasonable attention to important aspects of intimacy.
Let me put it to you this way, Chris, so you can understand. Let's say somebody calls up and they want like a pepperoni, double cheese pizza, okay? And with some lesbian scissor sex on top of it. Now, you are working there. That's what you're going to give them. You're not going to give them like a double mushroom with no cheese and just, you know, straight oral sex, right? You're going to give them what they want. Am I making that clear?
Yes.
All right. Well, you should demand that. And if he doesn't put up with it, then you should cut off the sex.
So here's the
thing. This whole minute-long sex, it's up to you. So you don't have to allow that.
Let's just, in general, let's talk about what guys can do that are very, very quick like that. One, they can get real good with the oral, which we're suggesting this guy do. Two, they can go for a second round.
Yeah.
Or third round, whatever it takes these guys.
I haven't, but you could.
Three,
could.
They could put a condom on. Sometimes that helps them last a little longer.
Two, three.
And number four, there's a medication coming out that's going to actually prolong this stuff. I mean, if it's a very rapid-acting medication.
It's called whacking it on the side with a hammer.
And that is yet another thing, which is for him to take care of himself before he gets into the battle with you. For him to sort of adjust his own physiology.
There's a thing you could buy and put in his underwear called Stay.
There are actually these lidocaine gels and things that might. It really adds only another
cocaine
minute or so.
For the penis. Basically.
The deal is what we are concerned with is that he's not responsive to you, and that is not okay.
And you putting up with it is just
also
frankly,
not okay.
A huge turn on to me.
Angela, 22.
Hi.
Hey, you're on with Rob Schneider.
Hi, Angela. She sounds
this
normal.
Is the best. I am so normal.
You sound normal.
Why are you calling this show then?
No, actually, anyone that listens to your show isn't normal. You guys know that.
Yeah, right. All right.
Well, so anyways, I just really was calling to say that this is the best episode of Love Line yet. I listen to so many. Rob Schneider, you are awesome. You make
it so good. Thank you. Eventually, I'll do this more often. I run out of things to say, like scissor sex.
You know what you need to do is learn a little more. You really are at your best when you're delivering jokes in German.
Yes.
So just a little more German.
Yes. Yes.
Just go back, take a little Berlitz course or something.
I'm going to do that.
In a couple weeks, come back and you'll just be insane.
I knew Rob Schneider had a huge Dickenhausen when I saw him on all of his movies. I'm like, that man.
Thank you. Well, you're very kind. You look big on screen. It does help the
Von Stucker
protrusion.
Right, because on TV you add 10 pounds or something, and it all goes to your penis when you're on TV.
I hope.
Angela, you like Rob, huh?
You're very kind, Angela.
Yes, Angela?
Yeah.
So what's going on, Angela? Is there any comment or question you had tonight?
Oh, well, I thought I had to give some kind of story or something, but it's true. Earlier today, I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I told her that I'm bi, that I'm like just as much into women as I am the men. And she's like, "Oh my God, no! Why? Why did you tell me that? I didn't need to know that." And I'm like, "Yeah, you do, because sometimes she makes comments about gay people, like, oh, I don't like gay people. They're bad, and the Bible says that you shouldn't be gay, and like just crap like that." So I'm like, so basically, you know, if for future reference, if you make any comment like that, you're going to get some huge, long story from me.
Where's your dad?
What? Dad.
I like, I don't know, we just split.
That's from God.
I had hot lesbian scissor sex 2 weeks ago, by the way.
What's that? You did?
I had hot, yes. It was very hot, it was very lesbian, and it was very scissory.
She's not a Christian!
They're all going to laugh at me.
I have no questions, so stop.
Wait, no, Angela, I have a question for you.
Yeah,
What happened to your dad, between you and your dad, or where is he?
Oh, my dad, bad story. But he actually...
How did I magically know?
You're good.
Magically
I don't
know.
Sometimes he just guesses.
There's a horrible story here with the alcoholic, abusive dad. But go ahead and tell me what happened when he abandoned you.
He came from an alcoholic family, but he himself is schizophrenic and... Mm. After I was 7, I didn't live with him anymore, but up until then, it was a very dysfunctional childhood. Like, he was very physically abusive to our mom. It was in and out of our lives, and...
So no wonder you're not attracted to men. Look at them.
Right.
As attractive, I should say.
I
wouldn't be scared.
I'm very attracted to you, so you're an exception. Or maybe
I'm very flattered.
Anyone knows Rob knows he's schizophrenic, so it's an exact reproduction of your
you're just repeating your
behavior.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, as far as the mother, you know what? It's a cultural thing. I'll tell you, I did see the movie. You know, there is, you know, it's amazing, but in 2006, we still have, there's this hatred of gays, which is just also awful. I kept thinking when I saw the movie Brokeback Mountain, it's a good movie for people to see because, I mean, I imagine how tough it is for young people who know that they're different and feel gay and have to hide it and live in that agony. I just can't imagine it. And yet people still, you know, get abused and beaten up just for being different, having a different sexual orientation for whatever reason, whether you're born with it or, you know, whatever it is. And it's just, it was really, it's a good movie to see. You get your mom, take your mom to see it. Tell her it's just a regular John Wayne movie. Make her see it. And maybe she'll learn something about it. And she'll have, well, she should develop empathy for other human beings who are different.
Nicole, 24.
Hi. I just had a question. I recently lost my dad last February from an accidental drug overdose. And recently, before he had passed away, him and I were in an argument, and I'm having an issue with blaming myself for his death. And I don't really know what to do about it, as far as I don't have a whole lot of time to spend with counseling, and I just feel like...
Why? What are you doing that keeps you so busy?
That's the most important thing. If you're not okay, you can't get anything done.
I realize but I just feel like there's really nothing that they can tell me that's going to make me feel any better, because I have talked to people who have been counselors at one point in their life, and they do always, you know, explain to me over and over again that it isn't my fault and that I shouldn't blame myself for it, but okay. I can't help it.
What are you doing that keeps you so busy that you can't take care of yourself?
Well, I just graduated from college, and I'm working full-time, and I just don't have a whole lot of time to spend with it. I guess I don't have a lot of confidence that it's gonna change the way that I feel.
Maybe you don't want to. It sounds like you don't want to confront these issues.
Yeah,
is what it really is.
Yeah, you don't want to change.
Take it from me. I actually killed my father, and I feel terrible about it, but I got over it.
Wow.
I clubbed him, you know, I hit him with a five iron in the backyard.
Let's just examine the facts.
I feel terrible. Okay, here's the thing. Yeah, let's go one by one. Let's push the blue button so she...
Well, no, I didn't know.
She's too busy.
Your dad had addiction, is that correct?
He did.
What kind of drugs?
Right. What was he addicted to?
Heroin.
Okay, he's a heroin addict. And how old was he?
He was 52.
46. 62?
52?
52, yeah.
52. Had he ever had any recovery in his life?
He would for periods of time, but he really wasn't around a lot. It was more or less just kind of me talking to him on the phone and feeling like, you know, I'd heard from...
What was his longest period of sobriety as far as you know?
Probably about maybe 7 to 8 months.
Okay.
All right, let me just say this.
Statistically...
Yeah, he is the equivalent of, like, for drug users, of winning the lottery. As far as he's making it to 52.
Absolutely.
It's like incredible. That's like, you know, you got to go back to, Chet Baker, the jazz trumpet player who made it into like his 60s. It's just incredible.
Right.
Or like, you know, the guy who just passed away, Ray Charles. I mean, these are like the winners of the drug, right, of the heroin. Nobody makes it to 52.
And even though, not without sustained sobriety. So
I do realize what you're saying.
Well, hold on. Let's just look at the facts. We have somebody with a terminal illness, long-term opiate addiction, active treatment, active engagement and treatment of any meaningful nature. He's not a replacement. He's active in his disease. No way he's going to see 60. Amazing he passed 50. He died of his disease. Has nothing to do with circumstances.
Yeah, it just has to be, you know what it is, honestly, and I can say this, it's like, because I'm on the radio, it is it's only a coincidence. I mean, you could have been like getting along great with him, had the best conversation you ever had with him in your life. It could have been the perfect day. You could have went and held hands, walked on the beach, got everything out, and then he dropped dead.
And
you can blame yourself just equally.
Right. And
it has nothing to do with you.
You are so severely codependent and, frankly, Nicole, grandiose as to think that you had that much to do with his disease. That is your pathology, that you believe that you control this deadly illness.
Yeah,
you
right. It's a megalomania.
You have very little to do with it.
If I know what megalomania meant, it would include
Nicole.
You.
I just
know
picture.
That when I was there and I was getting along with him, and I wouldn't let out my anger for it, because our argument was about.
Okay, well, you're not hearing a word we're saying. So there we go.
Wait a minute. It's simple. You had nothing to do. He was a drug addict. Heroin addicts do one thing eventually. They die. They either get well
or they die.
That's it.
Period.
There's cut or dry. And it's like for you to really think that you were what sent him over the edge is really not.
For you to think things are going well glowingly when you're around being nice to him, that's nonsense.
That's really
a concern in terms of how you're going to go through life, because you are distorting things
badly. It's a sickness. Yeah. And that you not wanting to deal with your sickness makes me sexually aroused by you. I'm surprised so we never lived together.
Nicole, there's a lot going on here. Naturally enough, you don't want to accept help. You don't trust other people. And that's your issue.
I don't either. You should meet a guy who has a similar problem, because that's what will happen if you don't want to seek help.
She'll find another heroin addict.
Another addict and a different kind of addict.
And if you want to go talk to other people who have what you have, you can go to an Al-Anon meeting or something of that nature and talk to the people that you've been through.
Will you go?
Questionable. No. I'll go. I don't know about it.
Why won't you go? Why won't you go again?
Shouldn't trust anybody.
Why don't you think you want to go?
I don't know that there's anything anybody can say that's...
All right. Okay, well, obviously, then...
Then we won't waste our time. But let me tell you, I've dealt with 1,000 Nicoles, and most of them have been able to be helped.
And guess what? It's like, you know what? You may not even think you're going to get anything out of it, but go anyway. Yeah. You know, take a chance. Scare the crap out of yourself
magically,
once in a while.
You'll introduce yourself to 30 or 40 people that are you.
And guess what? Yeah, you know what? Take a chance, because you're worth it. But she's sexy. She's crazy. I'm surprised I have never lived with her at one point.
Oh, she's one of your types.
We get along really good. She just, my pathology.
That's why you got all sexually aroused about her. She fits with you.
Yes.
That is epithelial. I want to write a book about that. I want to write a book about why humans are attracted. You know what I mean?
It's chemical, though.
But craziness. People have that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you put 100 women in a room, I'm going to find the one that's most nuts.
But women do that with men, too.
They do. You know what? Because it has to do with...
Just stand back and talk about evolution. Why did God set it up that way? What in the hell in the human species makes us do that? We'll talk about it, but we're going to first take a break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
That's right, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. And I'm pleased to announce Rob Schneider has discovered the key to human behavior. The absolute key. You unlock the key to the mystery of life.
This is it during
the break.
Let's sum it up again.
Basically, the reason that things that are negative that happen to us growing up become sources of attraction is the same reason that positive experiences become something we try to recreate in our adult life.
Absolutely.
You couldn't have one without the other.
Yeah, it has to have, it's a cause and effect, and potentially, if you have an affirmative, positive, loving, rewarding relationship
that has boundaries. That's what you look for.
No, well, that's what you could have. Yep. You could have, and in some ways we do. If you know, even however messed up your childhood was, if you know you're loved, if you have a feeling of the self-esteem, if you can develop that, if there was an inkling of that, you're going to survive as a child. Your childhood will survive from that.
Yes.
And you can deal with a lot of trauma if you know you're loved and valued. You will find some self-value. Now, so you look for that in another relationship. You're wired to that. It has to do with what turns you on, how you think, how you feel, whatever. There's a chemical composition. It also comes out in your chemistry.
Pheromones, I think.
In your pheromones, it comes through, and you're attracting that opposite end, that other end.
And by
end.
The same token, if you have lots of trauma and chaos, you tend to go towards that.
You're wired to get that.
But think of
you're
it
wired
more,
to be turned on by it.
You also don't get the more evolved, sort of flexible kinds of biology that you get. We're just talking in circles. But the bottom line is you look for more primitive, sort of rewarding, arousing experiences as opposed to more deep and flexible experiences.
Right, and we confuse that with it's our lower base kind of thing. But you confuse that as a good thing.
Joe, 17.
Hey, Dr. Drew, awesome show.
Thank you, Joe.
Also, Rob Schneider, you're freaking funny, dude. Awesome.
Thank you, bro.
I was wondering for, actors in general.
Yes.
In your Hot Chick, which is, the best movie ever.
Thank you.
Do you guys, actually show, your penis and stuff, in the...
When you're in a nude scene?
That's a good question. Yeah. I do show my ass because I think it helps. The movie.
It helps the scene.
No, I have a Stairmaster. When I'm working on the Stairmaster pretty good, I'm all right. Luckily, I'm Filipino, so I have a nice round
arse
to begin with. But anyway, good. You got it going on then, pal. Anyway, seriously.
Is that also involved?
Well, I tell you what. I don't want to, you don't have to show it. It's there are some scenes where, in the Hot Chick where I did have something covering the front. But, you can guess what was under there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a lot, covering me up. But yes. No, you shouldn't have to. You can act. You know what I mean? Then again, there are movies where I guess people show that. Pornos.
Suzanne, 17.
Yes.
Suzanne.
Hi,
there
Suzanne.
You go. What's up?
I have a question. I just went into treatment for anorexia and bulimia a couple months ago, and ever since then, I haven't been able to orgasm, but I was able to before.
You were what?
I was able to orgasm before.
No. Transfer? What was this
one? Eating disorder treatment. Bulimia and anorexia.
Okay, so are you taking some drugs for this?
It's medication.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the medication?
What is it?
Effexor.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's why you can't orgasm. That can cause a drop in libido.
I know that.
The orgasming. All the serotonin reuptake inhibiting medication have that potential, and Effexor is certainly one of those medicines, okay?
Bummer.
Okay.
So talk to the doctor. Talk to the doctor about it.
He can prescribe something else to you.
Yeah, Wellbutrin or Cerazone, something like that.
Wellbutrin was going to help you. Wellbutrin is basically a kind of, not exactly an opiate, but it's a, it's more closer to marijuana. It'll mellow you out and you can
what?
Have an orgasm. Huh?
No. Oh, you're talking
Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin. You're thinking of
Well Johnson.
Boostbar.
Wellbutrin. Wellbutrin, isn't that more of a, not an opiate,
it's called an adrenergic agent, so it's actually kind of a stimulant. But
isn't the stimulant that chills you out?
Well, some people, but mostly it affects the dopaminergic system that's responsible.
The anorexic women that I have sex with who take that totally makes them high.
Makes them high.
Makes them mellow.
Yeah. It's a good medicine. It's not a bad medicine.
You know what? You should try that one. and then just try. And then, like, while you're taking it in the doctor's office.
Here's what Rob's saying. He likes your type, he likes the cut of your jib. And your type, he seems to have best sexual experiences when they're on Wellbutrin.
Yes. Yeah. Orgasmic. Right. Multi-orgasmic.
Rob Schneider on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Will continue to solve all your problems and the mysteries of life.
Stay thin.
When we return.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
The great Rob Schneider in here
Thank
with
you,
us
Dr.
tonight.
Drew.
And come on.
And let me tell you, bulimic women supposedly are horny. That's what Dr. Drew said.
They can be hypersexual.
Now, why is that?
No, I don't know that anybody knows that. It's just one of those symptoms associated with that condition. And
they
have something to do with why you tend to like the cut of their jib.
I like it. You know what I tell you? They're more, you know, I knew there's an upside to bulimia. You see, it's not all negative. You can't just, the glass isn't always half empty.
You got to be philosophical about
these
things.
You got to.
Yeah.
If you're
kind of whiny there, Rob.
I'm attracted to her if she's messed up. God, I love her.
You've had a few examples of that.
I love
right
crazy
tonight.
Women. God, come into my life. I want you to be crazy, and I want you to ruin my life for a while. That's all I ask.
Let's talk to Trina and see if she'll be a good
Hi, Trina.
Subject. 23. Trina?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Nothing going on.
All right. Well, what can we do for you?
Well, I've been with my girlfriend for almost 2 years now.
Crazy and, lesbian. Scissor sex. Yes.
What is this?
You're lesbian.
Scissor sex. About?
You know exactly what I'm talking. How dare you, Trina? You get your legs in between and rub your thingies. Scissor sex. How dare you?
Oh, that's scissor sex.
That's, of course, like you don't know what that is.
She imagined actual, like, cutting devices, you see. Yes.
I'm sorry, but you do that, right? Please tell me that.
Right.
Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? That's one of the advantages of being...
Who wouldn't, really? Who would?
Yes, I would do it. I'd do it anyway.
I bet you do.
Yes, okay, so you're having scissor sex, and what can I help you with?
Well, we've been together for about 2 years now, and...
That's long enough.
You and your girlfriend.
Okay, she...
Shake it up.
She does not really have a sexual drive, like, hardly at all.
Get rid of her.
Well, you know, one of the
next call.
one of the dirty little secrets of the lesbian community, my
lesbian
friends have told me, is that it's very, very common for lesbian couples to stop having sex after about 6 to 12 months.
You know what? I hate when I hear that.
Yeah, no more scissors. And
no, but why is that?
Well, because
I've never heard that.
There's no testosterone. There's no penis driving it.
Oh, right.
Women are more.
Women respond to that.
They're more motivated. Well, that's true, and they're also more motivated by the intimacy.
Yeah,
the physical, the drive to orgasm.
Okay.
And so...
Drugs, then.
I'm motivated by the drive.
No, I know. And some women are. I mean, that's the interesting thing about women is they're a much more diverse group than men.
Yeah, you obviously have another side to this relationship, and she's the other side to that.
Right. She's more... I don't want to
receptive.
I don't want to say typical, but it's not uncommon for lesbian women to
she's
be like
the angry
your girlfriend.
You can say it. She's the angry lesbian. You can say that, Drew. She's the angry lesbian. No. Okay, so what can you do to make this thing more sexual for her so she can... you got to increase the intimacy. Maybe...
Yes, that's right.
Is there something stale in the relationship for her? Because maybe... See, the thing is with women, whether it's a gay relationship or a straight relationship, usually if there isn't enough sex happening, sexuality, there's an intimacy missing.
Emotional intimacy.
Yeah. And so if you can get through to that and find out, make some special time, do some special things,
right.
Make her feel valued, or maybe she's just also going through like a funk, if you can help her through that, then maybe you can get, you know, all the crazy sexual or sex you're looking for.
So let's review, because that was good advice, is that make sure she's not depressed or having some reason that her drive is down. And then secondly, or some medication, God knows. And secondly, look at your relationship and try to spend more time in conversation. Something simple like that.
The woman in my life, my ex-wife, when we're dating, which we are, she needs to feel special and do fun things and feel special, like I value her. If I don't do that, then the sex dries up really quickly.
Honey, 24, speaking of dried up sex. Honey, what's up?
Dried up sex. Hotline. You've reached it. Scissor sex. Scissor sex is the topic.
I'm on the phone.
Yes, you're on the phone.
Yes, you are.
That's you.
It's a phone. Yes.
I am.
Yes.
And who am I with? Dr. Drew and who else?
Rob Schneider.
Yes,
and
hi,
why
sweetheart.
Am I not on the air?
You are on the air. Well, you're probably listening to last night's show.
Last night's show, so I'll be on tomorrow night then, huh?
Right. Well, you're on right now, and you'll be listening to yourself tomorrow night going, well, why am I not on the air?
What happened? I told my friends I was on tonight.
No.
All right, so what's up?
I was on there.
All right. Come on. You're boring us. What's going on?
Shut up, damn it!
I don't have a question. I am with a 46-year-old, and we're very happy, and we listen to your guys' show every night, and we just wanted some input.
Okay.
No, I don't know, just...
input about...
Well, what do you guys think about it?
About a 46-year-old and 24?
How old are you?
I am 24.
And he's 46?
Yes.
It's
my dad.
Oh,
I love it. I mean, that's
how
cool.
How weird for your dad.
That must be cool. You guys, your dad and him can go to the same parties.
And do you perceive any problems with this relationship?
No, not at all.
I like daddy. And I like daddy's friends.
Honey, here's the deal. Obviously, we're not...
The password is stripper.
We're not concerned about
stripper.
Him. We're concerned about you.
Why do you like these guys that are so much older than you?
Why do I like them? Because I can relate to them better than I can to people my age.
All right. But hold on. Now, here's the deal. It's not like you're 14 and he's 20. That would be a catastrophe. You're an adult.
No.
Listen.
It's like almost a third of a percent better than that.
No, it's a lot better than that. And just sit and listen, honey. Honey, listen. Shut up. The fact is that you're both adults. You can engage in relationships. It's not going to be traumatic for you, whatever. The problem is that you are typically, when a 20-something-year-old is with a 40- or 50-year-old, you're in very different places in your life. For instance, he's probably already had kids and had a marriage and had a family and is interested in just... Yeah. And he's just interested in hanging out with a young person and having sex.
Yeah.
You may be interested in having children, having a family, and moving along and having a life.
And that's not where he's at.
On it together.
No, not necessarily. What? No.
I mean, it's a possibility.
But it's not likely.
Anthony Quinn had a kid when he was 74, huh?
What's that?
I said we both agree about having children right now.
I worry about the kids. I mean, when the kids are in high school, he'll be approaching 70. And that's a little bit, to me, that's...
We'll be taking care
of it. It's not my grandfather, it's my dad.
It's unfair.
You guys are a-holes. It's my dad. Gramps.
But whatever. I mean, it's your life.
Oh, hey, he wants to talk to you guys.
All right, put him on.
What up?
What's up? How you doing, sir? You're 46.
Yeah, I'm 46.
How many children you got?
I got 7. 12
Perfect.
12 grandkids.
And you want to have another family?
With honey, yes, I do. I didn't think I did.
With honey? Her name's Honey.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yep, that's her name, Honey.
What club did you guys...
First of all, please turn your radio off, goddammit. I mean, this is ridiculous. Come on, turn the radio off.
Okay, now, where did you guys meet?
We were out for New Year's.
This last New Year's?
2 years ago.
Okay, I was going to say, three days ago.
Family, 3 days
ago. Sounds good. Yep,
nope,
guys are ready to go.
Years ago.
So, how old is your oldest kid?
My oldest kid's 29.
How does he feel about the honey?
He basically feels that long dad's happy. Cool.
All right, now how about your oldest?
You had your first child when you were 17?
No, I had my first child when I was 13.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Dude.
I raised all seven of my children.
Are you Jerry Lee Lewis?
No, I'm not, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And you want to have more now with a with this?
But why the need to have kids, more kids? Is there?
It's not a need. It is a. I discovered that I can love again.
What happened in your last relationship?
I come home from work and got her with my best friend.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, ain't that a dog?
And do you have a little drug problem yourself?
Nope.
You never did?
Nope.
Drinking?
Nope. I have a beer once in a while, and that's about it.
No pot, speed, anything like that?
Nope.
Okay.
All I did was I was a teenager. I smoked pot. What teenager doesn't?
Okay, all right.
But
I'm at a loss here.
What? No, it's whatever. I just think, I hope you think about this.
Oh, hey, I already have. I thought about it for 2 years.
All right. Okay. Well, nothing we're going to say is going to change anything.
Spent
I just,
7 years alone, and no, we had an issue the other night. You guys had something about old people and wrinkled stuff, and we kind of took an exception to it.
Wrinkled what?
Balls.
Well, I hope your balls are wrinkled. It's got a tissue in there called the Dartos tunic that makes it wrinkled.
That's right.
If you don't have wrinkled balls, I'm very concerned about you for reasons other than your age.
They don't say that way that long.
I think that Honey liked you because she's got something with her father. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but she likes men who are a lot older. She can't relate to people who are younger.
Seven kids, we got to have some more with Honey.
Well, the world needs more people.
Enjoy, guys. Enjoy. Whatever. I mean, it takes all kinds. This is Tyler, 16.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, Tyler?
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Rob, what character did you play in Happy Gilmore, or were you in it?
I wasn't in it. Adam actually asked me to be Happy Gilmore, the golf classic.
Yeah.
He asked me to be the part that Ben Stiller ended up playing, but I was making a movie in the Czech Republic at the time.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't do it. He wanted me to be abusive to his grandmother.
Oh. Really?
On screen.
Nice.
And in real life. Yes, I didn't end up being in that one.
I actually just saw Hot Chick.
Yeah.
Excellent movie.
Well, thank you. It's aging well. I hear good things. That's nice of you to say.
That's actually the first, good, gay movie I've seen.
It's not really a gay movie. I play a girl.
No, chick movie.
Yeah, chick flick.
Okay.
All right. Well, God love you.
Yeah.
You should go see Breakdown Mountain, or what's it called? Brokeback Mountain.
Speaking of that, let's talk to Kyle, 17. Kyle?
Hey.
What's up?
What's up? How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. What's going on there?
I've got a hankering for some German.
Ich habe eine große Schwanzstucke, Kyle, und roten Dicker. What's going on there, Kyle?
Well, I have this really cool friend. He's like my best friend. And then he knows that I'm bisexual.
Sure.
And
I know you're bisexual. Hell. Huh? No, go ahead.
we're gonna put you in the sort of gay category, okay?
Yes.
Kyle.
Thanks.
Let's put you down for gay.
Okay, Kyle.
Thanks, but
what's going on?
He lately he's been letting me feel his abs, and he's always getting naked in front of me for no reason.
And this guy's supposedly straight.
Yeah, and he lets me touch him, and it doesn't bother him. And I don't know. I just want to know what's up.
Do you like it?
Do I like it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. It's whatever.
He's your good friend. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
And is he talk about his sexual preferences with you?
No, he's very shy. But
it sounds like he's interested in you.
Yes, he's shy, but he lets you touch his penis.
No, but certain parts of his body, he doesn't mind at all.
All right. Well,
we'll
should
talk to him about it. Who knows what he's
maybe under. Maybe he's gay.
There's a whole category of men who have sex with men that aren't gay. Kyle's
is there?
Yeah,
I don't know of any.
I know it really
that
is.
Sounds like one of those things like
gay.
They're aliens.
Yeah, I know. It is
aliens from other countries. No, there's no such thing. He's gay.
He's gay. I tend to agree with you,
he's gay.
But they, you know, because people, when they've been sort of traumatized, they can kind of compartmentalize themselves.
Okay.
So part of them is gay and part of them is straight kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Like, if you were abused by, like, a sibling, like, let's say you were a boy, you're abused by an older female sibling.
Yes.
That would tend to make you scared of women. And
tends to screw you up a little bit.
Yeah. It tends to screw with your sexuality.
Right. So you might be sort of prone to being, whatever. There's a spectrum of what goes on here. Yeah. Mostly. The penis is quite a commitment, though.
Yes. You touchy there. He likey. He gay-y.
Okay, there you go.
He gay-y. I can't get any more technical.
That's German again. Janice, 16.
Hello. Yes.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi.
What's up?
I watch the show a lot, or I listen
you
to
You watch the show a lot? What
I'm
am I wearing?
Sorry.
If you're really watching the show a lot, then you'd know what I'm wearing. But you don't know because you don't watch the show. It's on the radio.
What's up, Janice?
Sorry.
Here you go. What's going on?
I'm dating a 34-year-old.
Yes.
Are you 16?
Woo!
Yes.
Perfect.
You sound older than that.
Nothing wrong with that.
So a 16-year-old with a criminal. Okay, guys.
All right, okay, all right.
Well, we haven't done anything sexual. I mean,
yeah, well, give it an hour.
How come you aren't retching at this guy's behavior? How come it doesn't weird you out?
It's weird that he's this old.
Well, because he used to be my sister's boyfriend, but
oh, that makes it that much better. Well, then,
sure.
Of course. You
that's
feel
normal now.
Yes.
And your sister's 15.
She's 16.
Well, my sister, she's 20, but she met
perfect.
Him, and then I met him, and then
yes,
I started liking him more, and then
you know, it's amazing because there are no other guys in the world than this guy.
None. This is it. And this guy,
no
this
can,
guy's a gem.
And he sounds like a winner.
Jewel.
What does this guy do? Which Starbucks does he work at?
He is actually a college professor.
All right. Well, then the
creepy
guy needs to be arrested. Seriously.
Well,
what school does he go to?
What does he teach?
Like him.
Listen, Janice, I'm not kidding. This guy needs to be arrested. What does he teach?
I haven't asked him. I'm not sure where he teaches.
How do you know he's a professor?
Yes,
he's not a professor.
How do you know?
Well,
where does he? Where does he teach?
He
where? Oh, yeah, he's a liar. He's saying anything to get into your pants. He wants to get in your pants. Your 16-year-old pants. He is a child molester.
Yes.
You know,
he's
this would be perfectly legal in Washington, Hawaii, Alabama.
Washington State?
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? It wouldn't be, though, because there are, if he is, in fact, a college professor, there are tons of ethical guidelines on this kind of behavior.
He's not a college professor. Come on.
Either he's a criminal or he's not a college professor or both.
How long was he going out with your sister?
He went out with her for about a year, and then
he was having sex with her occasionally for a year.
Yes, but he seems to be obsessive to him, too.
What?
She what?
He wants me to, you know, be like high school obsessive, you know, like high school crush obsessive towards him.
He's a bit of a child molester, this guy, seriously.
And then what he tells you, how come you're not more obsessed with me? How come
yeah,
you don't idolize
like,
me?
What does he want you to do?
He wants me to idolize him, basically.
All right.
I hope this is a bogus call. I hope. Tell me it's not bogus.
It's not. My friend actually wanted me to call. She told me to.
Did she tell you your buddy's a criminal?
Let me ask you a question. What's your relationship like with your dad? Let me guess. He's not around anymore.
No, he's there.
Well, my father left when I was 8.
Hello, from 30 feet way downtown.
Got
nothing
it.
But net.
Do you have a relationship with him now?
No, he was never really there, period. So.
He's gone. All right.
Okay. Well,
here's the deal, Janice. We're going to give you one piece of advice. Run. Stay away from this a-hole. This guy's a bad guy.
You know it's stupid and wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called.
And I would suggest you tell everyone you know that's an adult exactly what this idiot is telling you and asking you to do. And, oh, for God's sake.
Tape it and give it to the police.
Kristen, 21.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hey, Kristen. What's going on?
What's happening?
Everyone's
not
talking
much.
So slow tonight.
I got a question.
What do you got?
My boyfriend used to be a pretty big drug dealer in this area. He used to be
awesome.
Nice.
Drugs. Sounds like a winner.
Beautiful.
Well, how do you not go out with that?
He's clean and sober now. He's completely
Woo.
Turned his life around. He's an amazing person now.
Cool. All
right, great.
But my question is, with his past drug use, will that affect his ability to have kids?
No. How old is he now?
He's 33.
Nah, he should be all right. What kind of drugs is he doing? Blow, right? Blow and then crank and crystal meth.
He's done just about everything except heroin.
Okay, you know what? You should get him checked, though, for AIDS.
If he's done IV drugs, that would be a good idea.
Was he ever shoot or did you snort it? Long
did
pause.
Did he shoot drugs?
Did he shoot drugs? Was he an intravenous drug user?
He did nothing with needles.
All right.
All right. Well, then he should be all right. Have kids with that guy. He sounds like a winner.
Yeah, he sounds good.
Have kids. Please, let that guy's genes.
Plenty of addicts reproduce even when they're actively using, so it's fine. He should be okay that way, right?
Yeah, good. Sounds like you got a winner.
No, he's a good guy now.
Yeah, it actually
does sound good.
I've met some people that knew him in his past, and they can't believe how he's turned around.
How long has he been sober?
2 days.
About 3 years.
All right, the 3, 5, 7, 10, those are big hurdles for somebody with a big history like that, but hopefully it will stick and just keep him going. Is he going to meetings regularly?
He's so busy.
Is he going to meetings regularly?
No, he doesn't do any of that, but he's constantly keeping himself busy, keeping his mind off it.
That's not the way to stay sober. There will be a relapse with that kind of behavior.
Take it from me. I still go to my lesbian scissor sex meetings.
If he doesn't contact...
If I didn't, I'd just be addicted.
If he doesn't stay around recovering people, doesn't work with a sponsor or a therapist, he is really just white-knuckling, and the clock is ticking on a relapse. Melanie, 33.
Hi, how are you doing,
Good advice.
Doctor?
Good, what's up?
Well, I have a question. I don't believe that I've ever stuttered, but sometimes when I'm talking, I feel like I can't breathe while I'm talking, you know?
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay.
Have you been checked out?
No, but it's like a pause when it's in the middle of a sentence or middle of a word. And sometimes it happens when I'm not talking, too.
You have air hunger.
It feels like there's no oxygen in my body.
Yeah, but
that's a movie with David Bowie, isn't it?
That can be an anxiety symptom where you feel sort of a sense of air hunger and you're talking along and all of a sudden you go like this.
Have you ever been diagnosed for depression?
However, yeah, depression is one of the things that can do that. However, asthma can do this. Heart failure can do that. Coronary heart disease can
do that. Are you on any medication?
Tumors, infections. There's a million things.
What medication are you on?
You have what?
I have post-traumatic stress disorder.
For what?
A lot of my past.
All right, so that kind of
makes sense then, doesn't it?
That air hunger can be part of it, but still, you need to be evaluated medically to be sure something's not getting missed.
So are you on a drug right now?
No, I'm not.
What were you on?
I was on anything. Well, I was taking Xanax and stuff like that, like, years ago.
Okay.
Again, so you have a history of anxiety disorder. This can be an anxiety symptom, but I'm not kidding, Melanie. This can also be a very serious sign of heart or lung disorders. You've got to get that checked out. You're 33.
Well, I do have mitral and tricuspid regurgitation. Does that have anything to do with it?
Well, the mitral regurg is associated with, the mitral prolapse is associated with anxiety. The mitral regurgitation can eventually end up with something called left atrial enlargement and can contribute to something called pulmonary edema, and that could cause shortness of breath. The tricuspid regurgitation, I don't know why you'd be having that at 33. Did you have a drug history or something?
No, it actually just started happening within the last year or so.
All right, so the valvular insufficiencies can cause changes in the pressures in your lungs and can cause some shortness of breath potentially. Greg, 18, for Rob here.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Rob, I'm actually an acting student right now. I'm a freshman in
college,
and I just want to say you're one of the reasons for that.
Well, you're very kind.
Yeah.
Aim higher, but I'm sorry. Well, you're very kind. So what's going on?
Basically, I had a question just as far as some of the work you've done.
Uh-huh.
Because I know you've done a lot of, like, kind of racy topics, like you were male prostitute, stuff like that. And I've done, like, a lot of weird characters, especially my writing and things like that. And just, like, I get a lot of judgmental looks and things like that from people.
Well, you know what, though? What's your name again?
Greg.
Greg, you got to just trust your gut. If you're doing something just to be outrageous, then there's going to be something kind of wrong with its reason to do it. If you genuinely think it's funny, then you got to go with it. You got to trust your instincts. But you can't ever forget you're there to entertain. If you're just there to shock people, if people are vomiting, you should try to adjust your material. But then, you know what? It's so tough to be outrageous these days because people have been exposed to everything. You know, it's like, you know, this new horror film out that's supposedly just absolutely disgusting and just, you know.
Which one?
It's some new horror film that's out right now. I don't know what it's called, but that one is, Tarantino said that was really
disgusting.
Really disturbing and scary. I was like, I just don't want to pay to see that. So the same thing with humor. You got to never forget you're there to entertain, not just, otherwise it's masturbatory. You know what I mean? You're just wanking it for yourself. So you got to entertain, be something funny, but you got to try some things and just, you know, I use sleep deprivation. I try not to sleep too much. And then it just kind of puts me in a silly mood and to come up with things and start writing first thing in the morning.
Seriously, sleep deprivation?
Sleep deprivation, yeah. No more than 6 hours when I'm writing, because then you kind of, it's like the creative side of your brain is
freer.
Because if you've got enough sleep and if you've got enough good food and everything going on great in your life, then the editing part of your brain is working and is controlling too much. And you got to shake that up a little bit.
Excellent. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Rob Schneider, and we'll return after this.
All right. The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Another spectacular performance by none other than Rob Schneider. So come and call, talk to him.
You're Michael Jordan. I'm just Scottie Pippen.
LOVE-191.
I'm just handing it off to you. You know, so you can score, and then I'll say bad things about Charles Barkley. I'm Scottie Pippen.
And here's a call for Scottie right now. Esteban.
Yeah. What's up?
Son. All
right. So this is a question for Rob Schneider.
Yeah. All right. What do you got?
I work at Tony Roma's in Palm Desert, and you went there like 2 days ago with Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Yeah, you did. I worked there. I just wanted to see, like, how did you like the food or what's up?
That's the best. No, Tony Roma's, man. That's the real ribs.
It is, man. It was just cool because I saw you guys, and now
that was our last meal before we went on our diet. Sandler and I are going to try to lose 200 pounds each. Get down to zero. But try to get down to our birth weight, 5 pounds.
Yeah.
But no, the people were very nice.
Sandler's weight up.
And I'm sorry that Adam farted by the maitre d' desk.
Oh, no.
It's cool. No problem.
Okay. I hope you guys got over that. Fumigated.
Oh, my. All right. Well, I love you and have fun.
Hey, tell everybody at work that they were very nice. You had a good time. And I tipped good, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Like, okay. You gave like $25. I talked to the server. The server actually, like, she kept the Diet Coke that Adam Sandler was drinking. Like, the next day she came into work, she's like, I kept his drink. I'm like, why would you do that? It's just a drink.
Be sure to tell her tomorrow night that you announced it on the radio to Rob.
Yeah, you know what? That's great. But the honestly, like, Elvis's, there's like, it was on the internet. Some guy, it was like a Dixie cup or something Elvis had backstage. And the guy grabbed it, and, like, you know, mold grew over it, whatever. And he sold it on the internet for, like, I don't know. It wasn't a ton, but it was like almost $1,000. Wow. Somebody wanted the moldy thing that was Elvis's backstage.
Somebody told us they're like selling stool samples and things online. Crazy
that's
stuff.
That's pretty weird.
Well, that's a little weird, unless it comes from like, Mick Jagger. Then you got to keep that one, especially if it's in the shape of a small dog.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye. This now is Gabriel.
Or Wham. Wham, frankly. Gabriel. That's a good stool sample, if you can get that.
Gabriel 22.
I'm still looking.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Gabe?
Hey, what's up, Rob? You're crazy funny and Drew. Oh.
All right, Gabriel, what's up?
All right.
Oh, wait. Hang on, Gabriel. You used the F word.
We got the F bomb going.
I kind of thought maybe you used it, but
You're looking awesome, man.
I want you to hold. We're going to talk to Bill first, then I'm coming back.
Back. You calm down, man. Woo. Yeah, so what's going on? Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Bill sounds like Gabriel. Scissor sex. What's up?
I just want to say we've been trying to get through for, the past 3 days now. And we
realized you are.
That you guys are in the West Coast, and we have a long time.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Wow. So okay, so what's up?
I'm pretty excited. But,
well, I'm glad you, man. Later.
What's going on, man?
Well, you know,
He's excited to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, finally. Been waiting.
That's awesome.
So what's going on?
To tell you the truth, I had to lie in order
to get through.
Because they thought our question was bogus, and I swear it's not. My friend here
He's a virgin and he's 19. I don't see what would be bogus about that, but he's actually shy and he didn't want to talk at first. But
put him on.
In order for him to get through, I have him here. He'll talk.
I like
to
this
you.
So far. This is going
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
okay,
Bill,
so put
good.
Him on. I get it. I get it. Put him on.
Hey, all right, here he is. Hey, by the way, The Animal, it's a classic. I love that movie.
I'm You're sure. a good man. You're very kind.
All right, here you go.
And he comes on and it's a girl.
Right.
Okay, so hello, who is this?
This is Mark.
Hey,
Mark, what's going on, Mark?
All right, I'm 19. I haven't gotten laid, and I'm not really good at it, and I'm also, like, extremely...
It doesn't sound like you are. Now, what would make you to believe you're not very good at it?
Let's see. Just general female reaction to me.
Have you ever been on a date?
They got yeah. medication for that. It'll clear up.
You been on dates?
Yeah, normally ending in laughing at me.
Why? No, come on, why?
And why?
Okay. I normally have this problem where whenever I'm nervous, I'll sit there and crack jokes.
Right.
I do that. That's
yeah,
not
well,
that's not completely insane. Just slightly creepy.
Yeah, I've been told I'm creepy and weird a lot.
All right. Okay. Well, they're probably right. All right, no. All right, okay. What do you do? What kind of jokes do you talk about? I could bury you in the backyard with my dog. Let's make out. I mean, what are you saying to these women?
Oddly enough, that was pretty close.
Okay, no. Come on. Seriously. What's going on? What, you go on a date, what happens? Have you gone on a date?
Yes, I've gone on a date.
What happened?
Let's see. Last date I went on was
yes?
at a music show. And what ended up virtually happening was me sitting around and she ran off with a bunch of different people.
Right.
Wow.
That was about the extent of it.
Are there girls you like right now? Are you interested in?
Yeah.
So you've got, and do you have relationships with them, or do you sort of admire them from
you
a distance?
You talk to them, somebody you work with you like, or what?
I talk to them, but that's about the extent of it.
Are you in school right now?
No.
What are you doing for a living?
Working at a bookstore.
Bookstore. And right. are these girls co-workers or something?
Yes.
It worked for Hugh Grant.
All right.
In the movie.
Here's
before
the
he bought a hooker on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, no, that didn't work so good. So why don't you ask one of them out, like for a meal? Like
yeah.
sit
in a non-stressful sexual, non-sexual situation.
Right. Just and just focus on them and ask them questions about what they like and what their life is like. And just keep asking them questions and don't refrain from cracking jokes.
Yeah.
You're not funny. Stop thinking you're funny.
You know what? It's a really good thing to do is actually listen to a girl when she's talking. You should try it. Seriously.
Bill,
listen.
That's it, Bill. Ask questions and listen.
And don't say nothing.
That is the magic ingredient.
Don't talk about yourself. Women are very egotistical. The better looking they are, the bigger the ego. Get her talking about herself. You're on your way to groping her.
Can you do that?
Possibly. Probably.
Possibly.
Bill, listen. Just take our advice. Go up. Ask him out for a meal. But, again, do it in a non-threatening way. Like... And realize also the women will tell you, will let you know if they're interested or open to the possibility of going out with you. Because if you say, you know, ask something like, hey, have you ever eaten over at, you know, bring up a restaurant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if they go, no, I hate that kind of food. That's it. Do not go further.
They're telling
you something.
Don't tell them about all the creepy, murder mystery books you read.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
You know, it's another creepy mystery book where that guy stabs the girl repeatedly. It's hilarious. Anyway, no, seriously, if you're a normal guy, kind of good-looking guy, you can maybe ask one question and then you say one thing about yourself.
If, on the other hand, you ask about that restaurant and a girl says, gee, I've always wanted to eat there. I love that kind of food. That's the door opening. And you say, you know, I'm thinking about going there tonight. Want to join me for that?
Yeah.
And if it's a no after that, it's a no. Don't keep going. Listen very carefully.
Girls talk.
Watch when the door opens and watch when it closes and respond accordingly. If it opens, keep walking through. If it closes, turn away.
If you're kind of a creepy guy, the ratio of questions to talking about yourself is 10 to 1.
Oh, more than that.
You're maybe the 20 to 1.
30 to 1.
Get her talking about herself.
She's a beginner. Yeah, get her talking about herself.
Honestly, the real deal is the better you feel about yourself, the more attractive you're going to be to women.
All right, here's Gabriel again. Gabriel, can you refrain from the F-bomb, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
All right, let's go.
Sorry, man, what's going on?
No, I'll appreciate it because you referred to how wonderful we are here. But,
yeah, it was nice. It wasn't in a sexual way.
But, all right, somebody told me that this guy and this girl, they're having anal sex, right? And the dad came home and startled them, so he pulled out quick. And apparently, like, the inner lining, I don't even know if it's possible, but the inner lining of her butthole ripped out and, like, stayed on his junk.
Well, that's not possible.
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
And that's David Ungar referring to what can happen, which is you can turn the rectum sort of inside out and pull it out of the rectum.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
That can happen, and that's one of the things that concerns me about people engaging in this stuff, is that that happens anyway to some old people. You get a rectal prolapse, and if you're sort of abnormally traumatizing that area, you may be more prone to that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's possible.
So
it's
not, do you have a question
about it?
It's
not that the lining sticks to the penis. It's that the whole thing, you know, sort of falls out.
Yeah, it just comes out. But, like, I guess they were stuck together and they had to go to the hospital like that. Like,
No, that doesn't happen. Yeah. But it is a hospital.
Sounds good, though.
It is an emergency. Yeah, I mean, because when the rectum comes out, it can cut the blood supply off to that area, and the actual rectum can actually necrose, fall apart, and you can die.
Excuse me a second.
That's crazy.
Okay, but thanks anyway.
But good times.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here's
Tom, congrats.
Sean, 20.
I'm sure their dad's proud. What's going on?
Hey,
Sean.
How's it going?
Sean sounds like Gabriel. Sounds like Bill.
They all sounded the same, didn't they?
Hey, fellas. I just wanted to say what's up to Rob and tell him he sucks, man. I don't like his movies.
Nah, it's all right, man. Did you pay to see him? I'm not going to give you your money back.
Oh, come on, man. Nah, I'm playing. Nah, you're all right. You're not too bad, but I had a question.
Whatever.
How is it that you choose your scripts? How do you decide what's good and what's not?
Well,
let me just say, Sean, not the most charming intro.
Yeah.
You're going to have a long and painful life. If you think you're going to be successful with that kind of crap, think again.
I like it.
Hey, you are really an ugly girl. Seriously, I want to puke on your face. You are the ugliest woman I've ever seen.
Anyway, I love you. You're beautiful. So,
can you please, will you go out with me? I'm just kidding.
Right.
Please let me play with your breasts. Can I grab your genitals? Let me play with your ass. I love you. Why are you calling the police?
You know,
so how do you choose your scripts?
How do I choose my scripts? I don't get offered a lot of great stuff. I mean, I write him, you know, or occasionally, you know, like Josh Leib's a great writer. I got a script from him that the studios were, you know, didn't want to make because it's really funny and it's a little too outrageous for them. So we're making it as an independent film.
Is this the prison
Big
film?
Big Stan, yeah. So it's, no, you got to write it yourself. I mean, it's tough, you know. I mean, I don't actually, I know, I'm an odd kind of leading man. I'm not like a guy who, like, gets the opposite Julia Roberts.
Something I've never heard you sort of discuss before is your chronology. How were you able to go? How did you get the Saturday Night Live gig? How did that turn into film?
I did stand up, but I was always, you know, trying to get into movies, you know, wanting to. I did stand up, and then, you know, as a way to perform and make money, frankly, and just kind of develop my craft. And then I got a Saturday Night Live from that, which is writing sketches, and, like, there you can write and you direct and basically, you know, talk to sets and costumes. So you're basically doing these little scenes, which are these mini little movies. And then from that, it was a natural transition to make movies. I was always happy just being a character actor, like, you know, Peter Lorre or Sidney
Greenstreet.
But how
did you just go out and read for film parts?
Yeah, I was starting to read for film parts. About then I started, when I was on Saturday Night Live, by then I got offered stuff, and most of it was crap. And then finally, you know, Adam Sandler just told me you should write your own movie, so that's what I did. And then it's been fun. And now,
did he have a production company at that point? Was he able?
No, he was just the his first movie he produced outside of himself. Well, it was mine. It was Deuce Bigelow 6 years ago, and that was and just, you know, you kind of got to write it, and if it's things that makes you laugh, you got to be your own. You got to love it, you know. If it's something that you think's funny, that's all you got. And hopefully, it's about taste at the end of the day. Like the guys I was really influenced was like Monty Python, Richard Pryor, and George Carlin. You know, these are guys. You know, the critics. You know. Who didn't like their stuff when they first came out. Now they, you know, suck up to them because it's held the test of time. Hopefully the stuff will hold the test of time. But, I think you got to write your own stuff. I mean, anyone out there, how do you do it? How do I get it? No one's sending you great stuff. You got to make it yourself. Most of the guys, even Cary Grant, the old movie star, produced his own movies.
Really?
Uncredited, so.
What?
But, yeah. Outside of the Hitchcock ones, but he was producing, an uncredited producer on his stuff.
Weird.
So you find that you got to develop. I mean, like Warren Beatty produced his own stuff.
Why didn't he have credit?
I don't know. It just wasn't a thing. I don't know if he wanted that. You know, if that was something that he needed. You know, I think he wanted to. He had an aura and a movie star thing, and he didn't want to. You know,
he
wanted
to spoil it.
Yeah, I mean, back then it was a different kind of thing. I mean, people now it has a cachet. To,
yeah,
I'm a writer, producer, director /
performer, whatever,
costumer / you know, molester of
fluffer
small animals, you know. So But, you know, it's just anything. It's tough. You know, there's 50,000 actors in L.A. You know, I'm one of the lucky ones who's able to, like, work. But if I didn't write my own stuff, you know, what are you going to do? I'd be doing radio at night.
Rob Schneider, that's Rob Schneider, telling us about his painful and cumbersome career.
Back to it's been interesting. Honestly, I had no career plan, which kind of explains why my career is in the place it's in. But, no, I just, you know, I had no idea. I was just happy to make a living at it. I genuinely had no career plan. I just wanted to make a living at it. I mean, it was a miracle. It's been like 20 years. But
please call with the scissor sex question so we can get Rob off his career.
Scissor sex.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll be back. 1-800-LOVE-191 after this.
Excuse me?
Love Line's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
Love Line, Rob Schneider, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Who we got? Who we got on there?
I'm thinking here, trying to bounce up. Let's try this. This is Kristen. We've had Kristens and Crystals all night
too
long.
Too many Kristens out there.
22. What's going on there?
I want to tell that old couple out there, that 50-year-old and the 20-year-old about to have a baby.
Oh,
just don't name it Kristen.
Oh, or Crystal.
What's up? I don't want my name to be Kristen either, so it's all right.
You can change it.
Yeah, I know. I've already changed my name once, so.
From
strippers
what?
Can change it to whatever they want.
What'd you change it name,
from? What was your name before?
It was Kristen Cholet, and now it's Kristen Jeanette.
That's a great stripper name, seriously. I'm not just saying that.
I want to be a stripper.
No.
Nobody will let me.
Well, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
22.
You can be a stripper.
What's your
I
question?
Can be a stripper. I have a question because I've been with my boyfriend for about a year now, a little over a year. And we're
dump him.
Yeah.
What's that?
Dump him.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We started out having sex a lot. You know, everybody has this situation where they start having sex a lot, and then now it's like not even once a week. And I want to know what to do. How can I spice up stuff?
Dump him. Go out with a guy who likes you more.
How often are you guys actually having sex?
Actually, the past 2 days we had sex, but before that, like, not even once a week.
Okay.
Every other
Maybe
week.
He's bored of you.
You keep saying not even once a week. Is it every 8 days?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Well, 1.5 times a week is normal.
Yeah.
And maybe you're
excessive, if you ask me.
I want to have sex all the time, but.
I know. Well, maybe you're putting extra pressure on her. Sounds like you sound a little pushy to me.
Yeah, guys do kind of recoil if you're sort of coming on a little strong.
Why aren't you having sex with me?
I automatically lose my boner at that point.
And especially if
Why aren't you doing it with me?
If some,
What's wrong with me?
Crying doesn't help.
And especially if that drive to have sex comes from a history of sexual abuse. Guys kind of pick up on that.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up.
Were you abused?
Yes.
No.
Nothing like that? No physical or sexual abuse growing up?
Huh?
Nah.
Oh. I don't mean to sound disappointed. Well, wait a minute.
I definitely
say yes if it would make the story better. But
No, I definitely. I don't lie.
Parents divorced?
Separated, yeah. They were never married. My dad had me when he was 15.
15?
Yeah. So, all right, well, so you have some daddy issues then. There's
some heavy stuff here. I mean, a 15-year-old trying to manage a
That's
baby.
That's better than getting molested.
Well, it's wow. difficult. Did they never struck you with anything?
No.
So you were never hit?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think I was ever hit, even when I was in trouble.
What kind of trouble would you get in?
I don't know. Regular trouble?
Oh, regular trouble. Well,
I get it now.
I never did drugs. I never did alcohol. Or, you know, drank, but like ditching school and.
All right. And how often would you like to have sex?
It's not that I want to have sex all the time. It's just like. When I want to have sex, we never have sex. It's always when he wants to have sex.
You know what? That's not uncommon. I mean, it's kind of, have you had this conversation with him? I'd like to have sex more. How come when I have it, have you said the words to him, how come when I have it, you don't want to have it, and when you want to have it, I don't want to have it? Have you talked to him about it?
Yeah.
You should. Why don't you talk to him about it? I'm sure he'd like to.
Yeah.
Why don't you want to talk to him about it? You're 22.
I've asked.
And what does he say?
He just says he don't know.
He says you don't know?
Oh,
He doesn't know why he doesn't ever.
Okay, can I just tell you something, Kristen? Kristen, you have a very interesting, weird middle name. It sounds like you could definitely get involved in the stripping industry, and you'll meet a lot of guys there who make your life miserable, but they'll want to have sex with you.
Well, here's the deal, Kristen. What most women don't realize, and I can't understand why this is the case, but you hold all the cards.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go, all right, you have sex on your terms? No, we're not having sex anymore until you start listening to me.
Let me tell you, here's another one, because you're taking, like, you for granted. Start dating another guy. Well, show interest.
That's rough, though. I mean, that's,
No. She's 22. She can do that.
Well, she can leave this guy.
Say, listen, I think we should see other people. Boing.
Yeah, that is a reasonable thing to say. Look.
No. I know what? I'm not getting what I want from you.
Right.
I'm going to start seeing somebody who was. Can you do that? Yeah. Kristen, will you do that?
This relationship isn't working for me. You don't need to hear me when I ask for things, and we need some reciprocity in this relationship. And if we can't do that, I'm leaving.
Can you think you can do that?
I think I can do that, but I think it'll be over forever.
Well, then you know what though? You got to feel good enough about yourself.
You're willing to take that risk.
Crap.
And if you're not getting what you want,
then go to somebody else.
Why do you care so much if it's over forever by a guy who's treating you like ass?
Exactly.
Come on.
Whenever I meet a woman with that low self-esteem, I'm always surprised that I haven't moved in with her. So I'm just like, God, she could ruin me for a long time.
Cody, 18.
I could make her dependent on me. Hey, what's up, Cody?
Yes.
Yes?
There's this guy that I'm seeing right now.
Uh-huh.
And he basically wants to be friends with benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, so he doesn't want to have a relationship emotionally. Well, how old are you? How old is he?
18. How old's the other guy?
Yeah. The other guy is turning 17.
Jeez. Well, you know what? He's probably, like, not comfortable with his sexuality completely.
Well,
you know what I mean?
The whole thing is that his ex-boyfriend didn't treat him very well.
Well, that makes sense then. How about taking your time with this guy?
Okay. What can I say or do to make it, like, go a little bit further? Because I want more than just friends with benefits.
Cody, he sounds like one of these guys that has to have somebody who doesn't treat him well. And you're the nice guy, and you're the ones who can treat him right, and he knows it's somebody he should be with, and he's going to try to be
with. But he's not what he turns him on.
But, yeah, he's
not. He's not how he's wired.
Not at 17. He's not going to be able to tolerate
it. Yeah, you know what, though? There's other guys out there. You know what? That's one good thing about being a gay guy. There's a lot of other horny gay guys out there. A lot. Four.
Yeah.
They all live on the same block as you.
Okay.
Start knocking under. No. I'm seriously. You know what? He's just, if he's not, you're a young guy. Just don't waste your time because he isn't, he's not receptive to that. He's not wired to like guys like you.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? At this point in his life.
But you're wired to like guys like him. Interesting,
right,
huh?
Right.
Yeah.
So there's something going on with you.
It's like, we both like each other a lot. It's just that. You know, he wants to go slow, and I respect that a lot, and I respect him for, you know, whatever reason. I don't know.
Sounds very Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, you don't know, Cody. Here's the deal. I'll just issue in a warning. This guy is not what you imagine him to be. You're 18. You've not had a lot of relationship experiences. You know how guys are. If they're into it, going slow is not usually part of the picture.
Oh, yeah.
They're into it.
That's true. You're right.
He's not that into it.
I never slow.
Right. He's not that into it.
I'm straight, but I'm never like, oh, let me slow down, babe.
Guys are still a guy, regardless of what they're focused on, what direction they're going. And the fact that he is not into it, it's also because he is into things that are more dangerous and more, frankly, abusive. So be very careful.
But you're into that. You're into guys
into
who
the
like
guy
that.
The not
so you're,
available guy, and
so you
so
like
you're
that.
Aroused by that, then
yeah.
Also not a great thing. Highly codependent.
Wow.
But anyway, it's Love Line 1-800-LOVE-191. The great Rob Schneider. We'll be right back.
Love Line. We'll be right back. Love Line. We'll be right back.
Rob Schneider and your dog, Oliver, who's sitting here staring at me hungrily. This has been a good show. You know why I know that?
How's that?
Because it went by in like 4 seconds.
It did go by
crazy.
Slow down towards the end.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll be back Thursday.
A little maudlin, a little bit cathartic for you. But
I'll come back in a day or two, huh?
I would love that. Make me very happy. And bring Oliver, a little terrier.
Oscar.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon, Oscar.
He doesn't mind.
I'm so sorry.
Can't tell. He's a dog.
That's right. So listen.
Anyway, that was fun tonight. Tell the wife I said hi.
I will say hi. We got to catch up with you. We both live in the same town.
I know. We're like 2 feet away. It's ridiculous. Right. We both drive. It's
we'll
so LA.
Maybe before you come up next time, we'll go to dinner.
Oh, I love it.
All right. This is Dr. Drew then on behalf of Rob Schneider saying good night and stay well.
I actually just saw Hot Chick.
Yeah.
Excellent movie.
Well, thank you. It's aging well.
That's actually the first, good, gay movie I've seen.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.